Morning, church. How are y'all? Y'all good? All right. Glad you're here. Welcome. Welcome to our live stream audience as well that's worshiping at home. Are you ready to worship? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to be here? All right. Let's invite him. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come into this place, come into our hearts. Would you glorify yourself? We pray that you'd steal our hearts, that you would open our hearts. We thank you that you love us. May everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, every worship song we sing, lift high the name of Jesus. We pray it in your precious Son's name. Amen. Rise if you're able as we worship.
Some bad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to church. Good to be here with the people of God, in the presence of God. And this morning, again, Billy, I know what you're preaching on this time. Still don't want to steal your sermon. But this morning we get to talk about, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this morning, God is here. He is among us in this place. The presence of God is here with us. And God is so great in his glory and his holiness. If we were to see God in his fullness, we would die. That's how great our God is. However, by the Holy Spirit, he has made a way for us to be in his presence. And so this morning, church, I want you to know that God is surely here among us, and that we see God. We can see God, and we can know that he is here with us. So as we continue in worship, pray that we are filled with the joy of the Lord by his Holy Spirit. And I want you to know, God here is here in this place as we worship.
worship the God who is, and we worship the God who evermore will be. And he opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea, and my God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. When our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Children, come on forward for your children's message, and the rest of you, you may be seated.
Good morning. It's so good to see everyone this morning. Hi, welcome. We are blessed to have you this morning. Good morning. All right, this morning I brought a pair of gloves. So my first question is, what are these gloves capable of doing? Can they do anything?
No.
Magic. No?
They cannot do magic.
They can do.
You can
do them for building houses.
On their own? Go build a house, glove. Go now. No, it didn't go build a house. Go build an ark. No, that didn't work either.
If you put them on, then you can work with them.
Okay, so that's the way it goes. All right, so by themselves, they're just kind of flappy. I could shake them, but they don't do too much. However, if I put my hand inside, then it can do stuff. I could make a fist. I can point a finger. I can go and build the house. They can build the house. They can build the ark. They can plant a garden. They can build a TV. Maybe they can make a dinner and set the table. They can do all sorts of things as long as my hand is inside and can move it, right? This is very similar to the Holy Spirit in us. We, on our own, are kind of like the glove that can't do too much. It just kind of sits there. It looks like a hand, but it can't do much of anything by itself. But once we accept Jesus and we activate the Holy Spirit in us, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes into us and we can do things. We realize all of a sudden that we have more patience than we used to have. All of a sudden we realize that we are finding joy when we're kind of sad or someone's made us grumpy. We are finding that we have more self-control. We are even finding that we are finding that we are wise and have wisdom and understanding that before we didn't have. So it has to be the Holy Spirit that's in us and is maneuvering and working in us and empowering us to know things that we did not know before. Before we didn't have much, but once we let that Holy Spirit work in us, it can do a whole bunch of amazing and wonderful things that we could not do before. But we have to let that power work in us. We have to invite the Holy Spirit in and say, work, and allow it to work. And then it will start going out and it will be friendly with someone that we don't know or that maybe we don't like. And all of a sudden we're being nice. Yes. Maybe all of a sudden we're showing patience where before something would have irritated us. A whole bunch of things that we do, and we do amazing things that we couldn't do before. And it's because we've invited the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit empowers us, gives us power. That's right. I'm going to read to you from Acts 1, verse 8, where it tells us simply, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, on our own, we can do nothing. So I pray that every child and adult declares your Son, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, and through the Holy Spirit within them, they will do great things in your most holy name. This I pray. Amen.
Good morning again. You probably saw that Carlene is not here this morning. We'll pray for her in just a moment. Her hip came out of socket yesterday, her new hip. So Billy called about 9 o'clock. I think the ambulance was there to take her to the hospital, and he was going to preach today because I was doing discovery class, and he said, I don't think I'm going to be able to preach tomorrow. So I called Marv. Marv said, okay, I'll take it. And then, a couple hours later, Billy said, well, I think I got it back in. I think I'm going to go home. So Marv, I said, you're out. So Marv, I'm sorry putting you through the ringer there, buddy. But I appreciate your willingness. So pray for Carlene that hip stays in socket. If you will rise with me as we say, if you are able, as we recite this creed. You know, thousands of people all over the world, maybe millions of people all over the world, Christians, are reciting this creed that is the foundations for what we believe as believers in Christ. So let's recite this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Before we go into this time of prayer, I want to mention to you, a few weeks ago, preached on loving extravagantly, and if some of y'all remember, and maybe some of y'all here in the room took $100 bills and blessed someone with that, and then reported what the Lord did through that. Someone right after that felt compelled to make us a little board that says love extravagantly and has little clips, and they seeded five more $100 bills for us to do that. We're not going to do it again the same way, but if you feel led, if there's someone that God lays on your heart that you would like to bless with that $100, they're right up here on the altar. Come and grab those before you leave today. And I would like to know what happens. We're not going to do it through a sermon, but I would like to report back on what God does through that. So if the Lord is moving you to do that, they are right here on the altar table. If you'll go to the Lord now, just spend a moment just telling Him how you love Him. Thank Him for loving you. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Your word says, and You promised, Jesus, that You would not leave us alone, that You would not desert us, but You would come and You would be with us and You would live in us. And then You made good on Your promise. You sent Your Holy Spirit. And You don't just tell us of Your great love for us, but You demonstrated it. Jesus, You demonstrated it by going to the cross for us so that we don't have to carry guilt and shame for our sin anymore. You freed us for life abundantly, for everlasting life. You've proven even the grave has no hold on You, Jesus. And because it has no hold on You, it has no hold on us. Father, there's lots of people with illness, struggling. We pray specifically for Carlene, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank You for her faithfulness to You, her faithfulness to our children, to this church. God, would You supernaturally cause that hip to heal totally, perfectly, to stay in place? Bless her and Billy. Thank You for the service that they have surrendered to in this place, to Your people. Lord, for there's many that are sick or struggling. Maybe they're lonely, or maybe there's broken relationship, broken marriages, perhaps financial needs. God, would you move? Would you do what only you can do? You are the only changer of hearts. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the God of all comfort. And there is nothing too difficult for You. Nothing we face that You have not overcome. Thank You for this group that has assembled that we call Wiley Methodist Church, but You call us Your children. Help us to be Your ambassadors. Help us to love on your behalf to a hurting world. Teach us how. Show us how. Father, I'm grateful for this group. I'm thankful. Continue to knit our hearts together, to keep our hearts unified on your word. We pray now the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just a reminder, I want to thank you for your continued financial faithfulness. There's giving boxes at both of the doors that you can put your offering in. You can also follow the instructions on the screen or give through our app. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name.
Change my heart, oh God.
Well, good morning, church. Man, sweet worship. Sweet worship. There is power in the name of Jesus to set captives free, to bring healing, to bring salvation. I think sometimes we forget. We forget that. Thanks for that reminder, praise team. Well, good to see everybody this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online. Hi, Carlene. Good to let me know what you want for lunch, and I love you. See you in a little bit. I'll try not to preach too long, so. Well, good to have you. If you want to check into this late service or check in online with the app, that would be awesome. That would be helpful. How many of you men or ladies are familiar with Dennis Swanberg? Yeah. Yeah, a few of us. Some of us older folks, more mature folks, are familiar with Dennis Swanberg. Anyway, Wiley Baptist is hosting an event that he's going to do. He's a comedian. He's an impersonator. He's a preacher. That's taking place on the 10th of June. And they have given us 100 tickets to distribute to our fellowship. And Mike Matthews, wave Mike if you can. Mike's got some tickets this morning. So if you want to attend that event, just connect with Mike. He'll be out by the welcome desk after the service. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're grateful that you would have chosen Wiley Methodist as your place of worship. There's a guest registration card in the chair pocket in front of you. If you want to fill that out, you can meet with our pastor after the service by the main entrance. Also, if you want to fill out an online registration card, you can scan the QR code on the back of the chair in front of you. That'll take you to the web version of our app, and then there's a place where you can fill out a Guest Connect card as well. Again, if you're worshiping with us as a visitor this morning, as a guest, we're honored that you would choose to do so at Wiley Methodist Church. We're going to continue the sermon series that is based out of Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And Taylor Wood is going to read scripture for us this morning. And she brought one of her peeps with her, apparently. Yeah, it's good to see our youth serving. Amen? Amen? Amen on the worship team. Yeah. So Taylor's going to read for us this morning. There you go, girl. Appreciate it.
Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thank you, Taylor. Appreciate that. In the verse we're focusing on today is Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Anybody want to see God? We're blessed if we do, and also it comes out of a pure heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for opportunities to be in your word, to discover things that you really want us to discover. And Lord, would you take us deeper in the reality of the benefits of a pure heart? God, you love us. You have incredible grace. You have incredible mercy. But there's something about us walking with a pure heart that you desire for us. Lord, you're attracted to that kind of heart. And we'll look at that in a minute out of your word. So open up our hearts. Holy Spirit, just move in power. I pray against distractions during this service. I'm praying against what the enemy would try to do to rob the word from any of us. And we love you and praise you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said, our sermon today is out of Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see the Lord. And this is kind of what this verse means for me. It may be different for you. But it's obvious that believers in Christ are going to spend eternity with God. And we all agree on that, right? Amen. All agree on that. Good theology. So someday we will see him. We will see him for who he is. We'll see him in his fullness. And it's going to be just an awesome thing. I mean, John, the Apostle John got a glimpse of that in heaven, and he was on his face before God. You know, I hear people say, and this isn't bad. He said, well, I get to heaven, I'm going to look up Uncle Joe and see Uncle Joe. Well, there's some people I'd like to see, but I'm convinced the first 5,000 years, I'm going to be on my face before the Lord. And then I'll get up and go find Uncle Joe. But, you know, it's all about God. We're going to see him. I mean, there's no sun there because God the Father and God the Son, S-O-N, provides the light. So we're all going to get to see that. But I believe it's also for the here and now. I believe that we can see him. Now, that doesn't mean that we see his form, because nobody can look on his form and live. I mean, Moses came the closest to that. And he asked the Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I mean, that's a bold request. And God said, well, you can't look on my face, the front side of me, as I radiate that glory. Because, you know, he didn't say this, but scripturally, he would have perished right there. But he allowed him to see the trail of his glory in a sense. And so we can't view him like that, but we can still see him. We can see his activity. We can see the way he's moving, the way he's working, the way he's touching lives. I've seen the Lord that way. Have you? Yes. So God's word says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see him. Now, this has been my Christian experience, my walk with the Lord for the last 42 years. And it's sometimes I feel like I'm here. Sometimes I feel like maybe I'm here, and then maybe I'm here back down here, but I'm back up here. And I don't know, that's probably a lot of our experience, but if you look at a graph over the last 42 years, hopefully it's an upward trend, and I think maybe for me, perhaps it has been. And so there are times that in my walk, I'm not boasting, this is just my experience, there's times in my walk that, man, I just feel like I'm so close to him. Like he's riding down the street with me. He's my navigator. I feel like maybe I'm rubbing up against him. Maybe I can just feel him breathing on me. And then there's sometimes I feel like, God, where have you been for the last month? I'm just not really connecting with you. And those downtimes for me, it's not like I'm caught up in any gross sin. You know, I don't beat Carlene. I'm not running around on her. I'm not getting drunk on Friday nights. You know, I just kind of get distracted with life. And I'm just going to be transparent. The sin issues I struggle with are mostly being judgmental and not loving people the way Jesus calls me to love people. That's kind of my struggle. So I'm here, then I'm down here, up here, and then, you know, that's kind of been my progression. And I guarantee you that the times where I've seen the Lord are the times that I'm up here, that I've been intentional about pursuing him, intentional about connecting with him. So for me, that's what that verse means. Everybody okay with that? We good? We can move forward? Okay, so we got 3 points this morning. You can use your sermon note sheet. You'll notice the scriptures are on one side. Flip that over. Man, I'm getting a little better at this. Flip that over, and you can take notes on the other side. Jeff asked me this morning, do you want me to put your points on the sermon note sheet? I said, no, I don't want you to do that. Let me do it myself. But I appreciate the offer, Jeff. I love you. It works for Jeff. I'm just wired a little bit different. So 3 points this morning. Point one, a pure heart attracts God. A pure heart attracts God. We're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning that will help us. First reference is 2 Chronicles 16:9. And it's about half of this verse. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support or strengthen those whose heart is completely his. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You know, this is a verse that's intrigued me for a long time. It's almost as if God is looking, he's scanning. And he can do this for a million people just like that, or maybe a billion people. He's watching, and he's connecting. He's looking at the condition of our hearts. And it's not that he doesn't love us. It's not that he doesn't support us. But when he sees someone, according to this scripture, that is fully devoted to him, has a heart that's fully devoted to him, it's almost like he stops. Look at this guy. Look at Jeff Hatcher. Look at Larry Young, Robert Mills, Joyce Collins. And I think about what God said to Satan when Job was being harassed by him. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him." It's almost like God's focus is drawn towards that person, and he strengthens, he strongly supports that. Not that he doesn't love the rest of us. So if this verse is true, I don't think that there's an expiration date on this. I think this morning he's looking. He's looking. He's scanning this congregation, a number of congregations. And if there's a heart completely his, it's almost like he stopped. I'm going to bless that. I'm going to strengthen that person. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word." And the New Living Translation reads, "I will bless those who have a humble and contrite heart." So God is basically saying, look, you can't limit me. It's almost like I'm seated in the heavens, and I'm resting my feet on the planet that you dwell on. And I've created all of this stuff, which is incredibly impressive. It's almost like God could just sit here and boast about what he's created for a while. And then he says, but outside of all that, let's forget about that. To this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. It's a heart condition. I will bless those who have a humble and contrite heart. So we all know the story of King David, right? Saul is the first king of the nation of Israel. And Saul quit following the Lord. And so God rejected him as king, and he sends Samuel, to Jesse's household, to David and his six brothers, and there's going to be a king that he's going to raise up out of that family. And we all know that David was a man after God's own heart. So Samuel is going through the process to try to figure out who's the king. He's anointing them with oil. And in 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature." This is one of his better looking brothers. "Because I've rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God's attracted to a pure heart. And those who have one or land there on occasions, God blesses that and he reveals himself to us. We see him. Second point, a pure heart is God's desire for us. I'm going to read Jeremiah 29:11 through 13. And Jeremiah 11 is 29:11 is one of those verses that are probably top five, I guess, as far as verses that are quoted. It's a good verse. You've got John 3:16, Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Jeremiah 29:11 is another one of those. And it reads, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." See, God knows the plans he has for us. Our issue is we don't really know those. And the way we discover those is by seeking the Lord, seeking him, finding him, and searching for him with all of our heart. It's almost like there's this invitation for us. It's almost like, just come and trust me. Just seek me. I've got really good things for you. I really want to bless you. I really want to reveal myself to you. Our relationship with the Lord is sort of like, if we'll do this, his promise is that he'll do that. If you do this, I'll do this. And that's our relationship with him. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And again, another invitation for us to seek him, I believe, because God wants us to connect with him so our heart can be worked on. Call upon him while he is near. Church, God is near. He's not far from any one of us in this room. In Acts chapter 17, we learned, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago in our men's Tuesday morning Bible study, we've been in Acts for, it'll be 2 years in August, right?
August 20th.
August 20th. That's your first week with us?
It was my second Genesis.
Yeah. So, I don't know, Jesus is probably going to come back before we get out of Acts. I'm not sure, which is okay. That way I don't have to get up early on Tuesday mornings anymore. But a number of months back, we were in Acts 17, and Paul was in Athens. And Athens was a pagan city. And looking at Scripture, Paul may have been the only believer in that city. There may have been one or two other traveling companions, but he was the only one perhaps in that city who trusted Christ. And I discovered through our studies that there were probably over 30,000 gods, goddesses, idols, plaques, inscriptions that people could worship. 30,000 different opportunities. And so they were looking for favor from any god that might be out there. But then they didn't want to miss out on maybe a god that might bless them, or a god that might withhold favor, so they didn't want to offend that god they didn't even know, so they made an inscription to an unknown god, covering their bases, basically. And so Paul, he sees that, and he seizes on the opportunity to tell them about Creator God. And he says, let me tell you about this God. And then we're going to pick it up in 26 through 28. I know your references are wrong on your sermon insert sheet, but it's Acts 17, 26 through 28. And this is Paul talking. He said, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined, listen, their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and exist. So Paul says that, God had appointed times and boundaries for our habitation, where we're going to live. I believe God ordained that I was going to be born on June 13th, 1957. I believe that he ordained I was going to be born in Abilene, Texas. And I haven't left. And I think he does that, Scripture says, so that we might seek the Lord. I mean, God has put people in my path that's drawn me closer to him. I think about a Sunday morning in 1981 at Southside Baptist Church. This young evangelist comes in, preaches the gospel, and God just wrecks my heart. If I would have missed that church service, would I have missed the Lord? I mean, God, it's just awesome. We have free will, but he's God. He can do anything he wants to do. So he determines the appointed times, the boundaries of where we live, in order that we might seek him. And it uses the terminology, might grope for him and find him, though he's not really far from each of us. For in him we live, Paul and the Athenians, we live and move and exist. So for me, this is what that scripture says, that we exist inside, God's near, he's close, we exist inside of his presence because he's omnipresent. Everybody tracking with me, maybe perhaps? That in him, we, Paul says, me and you, pagan Athenians, we live and move and exist, or we live and move and have our being. So he's close, he's near, it's like he's drawing us to himself. I don't know if you thought about this, but I did this morning because I'm preaching on this, that, when I drove to church, I drove through the presence of the Lord. Drove through his presence. When I walked up here on the stage, I walked through his presence. God, he's incredibly close. He's incredibly near. He's drawing us. And his desire for us is to have a pure heart as he reveals himself to us. And if we have a pure heart, I don't know if it's we're more cognizant of his activity, or maybe he heightens his awareness around us. I don't know how that works. But his desire for us is a pure heart. Point number three. A pure heart requires an intentional pursuit. A pure heart requires an intentional pursuit. You know, it's easy to miss the Lord. It really is. I think about Jacob. You know, Jacob had a brother Esau named Esau, and they were at odds with each other, and it was time for Jacob to leave the house. Things weren't good, and so he goes and he lays down at nighttime, and he has this vision of angels ascending and descending on this ladder, and he wakes up and he said, "My goodness, God was in this place and I didn't even know it." Is that us sometimes? I mean, we're here maybe, and it is for me. We're here, and God's here, and I didn't even know he was here. In the book of Exodus, starting in chapter 20, this story runs all the way up to 32. You know, Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea, and God is, I don't know if you said this in this service or the last service, but he talked about God being veiled in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, his presence was, they couldn't see his form and live, but his presence was always with him. So it's nighttime, and they're traveling, and there's this pillar of fire, you know, that may be a mile ahead of some of these people, because there were almost, I think, maybe upwards to 5 million people there. And so they're seeing the Lord. He's down here. I don't see him, but his presence is there. He's going with them. And then they come to Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, and they were there, I believe, around a year. And Moses tell the people to consecrate themselves because they're going to meet with the Lord in 3 days. So they consecrate themselves. They go stand before this mountain, and God descends on this mountain, and it's a terrifying scene. There's lightning, thunder, mixed with fire and smoke. There's these trumpet blasts, and the people are just terrified. And God speaks the Ten Commandments to them initially, and then so they tell Moses, you know, come here a second. If God wants us to know something, why don't you go find out and you come back down and tell us? Because if we hear his voice anymore, we're going to die. I mean, is that oppressive? I mean, who is this God that we serve? And so Moses goes up on the mountain. I believe Scripture said he was up for 40 days. And so he's up on the mountain, and the people, they just lose focus. They think maybe God's killed Moses. We don't know if he's coming back down or not. And so they talk his brother Aaron into fashioning for them a golden calf, which is really comical. I mean, you've got this structure that can't make a sound, can't hear anything, can't move, zero power whatsoever. And they're worshiping this thing, and God is right there. He's right there. How did they miss him? How did they miss him? You know, God moves in our day, and he's veiled to us. But I'm thinking, you know, if I'd have been out there, I wouldn't have worshipped that golden calf. Well, I would have. I'd been right along with everybody else. But how in the world did they miss him? Church, it's so easy. It's so easy to miss the Lord. It's so easy to be distracted. You know, he's not everything. I don't know what pantheistic thought that God is everything. God's a dog, he's a cockroach, he's a tree. And I'm not talking about that, but we can see God in everything, in his creation. Every sunrise, every sunset, every star-filled night, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. The birth of a newborn child ought to stir us deeply, a new life that God has formed. In church, we'll find him if we seek him with our whole hearts. He stands ready to bless us. He is for us. He is not against us. Amen. He's a good God. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see the Lord. Praise team, go ahead and come up, please. one of my more favorite psalms that seemed to really stir in me this week. And actually, Cody, we're going to sing a song that's based out of this psalm, Psalm 24. I think this is a psalm of David. I didn't look and see. A couple of questions. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Two good questions. The answer, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood or an idol, and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So, church, I don't know how you need to respond, if you even need to respond this morning, but the altar is obviously always open. As we sing this song, let's declare, make this a declaration that we agree with Scripture, we would agree with what the Lord says. And it's my prayer this morning that every one of us are moved a little bit closer to having that heart that's completely His, that heart, me, myself included, that heart that's fully His, that heart that's a little more pure. So if you're able, let's stand and worship to this song.
God of Jacob. And if you look at Jacob, he
wasn't a very good dude. He robbed his brother's birthright by deception. And so just real quick, God is faithful to you even in your deceitful condition. And even when we're broken and we're sinful, God is faithful to us. So this morning, the gift is not offered to those who've earned it, to those who are perfect, but to those who are humble, those who say, God, I need you. I cannot be pure of heart on my own. And so it's that broken and contrite spirit that leads us to God. So maybe this morning you feel like you're Jacob. Maybe you feel like, I don't deserve to see God. And you're right about that. But it's in that admission, God, that I need you. I cannot do this on my own. I need a Savior. That he comes in and he purifies our hearts. And then he will change your name to Israel, which means he who wrestles with God. He who struggles with God. He who walks with God in the day-to-day, in the highs and the lows of life. So this morning, if you feel like you're a Jacob, that you don't deserve the love of God, I want you to lay yourself down this morning, and I want you to ask for his mercy to make you have a pure heart. I want you to ask for his love, even in the midst of your unfaithfulness, to be greater. And as we sing, we're going to proclaim it out, that God is faithful. And I want you to ask from the depth of who you are that he would purify your heart.
We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble.
All glory is yours, God.
We turn our eyes from
by the main entrance. If you are visiting with us, we'd love to meet you. Also, Mike Matthews will be out in the foyer with some Dennis Swanberg tickets. God is good. Incredibly good. Go have a blessed day as you seek him.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.